Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Good friend of the program, Mikey Am, is going to join us coming up here in a moment. We'll chat some NFL with him, get his thoughts on the draft coming up as all of us are fired up. It is 1 week from today, Hans, the NFL draft.
Everybody's dreams about to come true, except for some, whose dreams will be broken and crushed.
But other than that,
Scotty remembers that day.
Were you there for that, Scotty?
I don't want to be the downer on it, but yeah, Scott had to go through that, the whole draft and me not going in it.
I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
I mean, I'm just there as a friend.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Cuz everybody's telling
it's a rough day for sure.
Everyone's telling yeah. This is where you're going. This is
yeah.
It's bad. But 7 days away, and the NFL draft is rocking and rolling. So it'll be interesting to see how everything goes.
Scott didn't know we were on the air. Hey, you know what? We talk off the air. On the air, it's the same thing.
We don't mean to be rude in conversation, Scott. We're just on the air. But it'll be nice to catch up with Mike Yam, see how he sees things going. I do think it's going to be a crazy draft. Okay, I wanted to do this for you really quick before Mike Yam gets on.
All right.
Over under BYU players taken in this year's draft. I'm going to set it at 3.5.
That's the number you should go. I will go the over. I will go 4.
Okay, so 3.
If you said 4.5, I'd take the under.
3.5, I would take the over as well. I think Zach Wilson goes. I think Brady Christensen goes. I think Kyrus Tonga goes.
To me, Dax Milne's the one, but we've been hearing great things about Dax Milne.
So it's Dax Milne and Chris Wilcox. Those are the two deciders if you get over that 3.5.
Yeah.
There is a possibility of over under 4.5 if both of them go. I just don't think both of them will go. I have a feeling that Chris Wilcox won't go and that Dax Milne will. I actually think Dax Milne showed a lot of ability just in his route running. But I'm not a wide receivers coach, but when you watch his cuts and you watch his sticky fingers and you also watch the fact that he can take an over-the-top ball really well, he could be a nice signing for an NFL team.
Yeah.
And a nice find for an NFL team.
Joining us now to help break down the NFL draft and what should be a busy, busy draft coming up 1 week from today, Mike Yam, kind enough to join us. And you've heard Mike on these airwaves for years, but Mike, it's always good to catch up with you. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
Doing great, guys. Always appreciate the invite. And we're just days away from the draft, man. I'm ready to rock and roll.
I mean, so many years with the Pac-12 network and now with the NFL network, you really get a cannonball right into the NFL draft. This has to be a lot of fun for you.
It's been awesome. And, you know, to be honest with you, because there's been so much work from home, just kind of like everyone else. And, you know, from an assignment standpoint, it's actually been pretty cool just because I could stay in the footprint. So they had me, NFL Network sent me down to Stanford, which is just a drive from where I live in San Francisco. So I got to do their pro day and then head up to Seattle to see a couple of those guys. So just the familiar territory for me was definitely a win. I'm hoping at some point, guys, I get sent to Salt Lake City. I miss my time around that campus and certainly around that team.
All right, so, Mike, I want to put a bit of truth serum in you right now, and I want to know the truth. What do you enjoy covering more, NFL or NCAA?
Oh, wow. You know, I'll say this about the NFL. When I got hired at NFL Network, I had sort of forgotten just how big the league is and the resources surrounding it and all, like, the fanfare and the hoopla. I mean, that is – it's big time. It was sort of reminded me a little bit like of my time when I was at ESPN, where you're kind of like covering the pros again. So it's a little bit of a different deal. In fact, next week I'm headed down to Santa Clara. I'm going to be on the Niners beat for the week of the draft, which is a cool assignment because I think we all kind of get that pick number 3. That's really where the draft starts. You know, there's something unique though about college athletics, and I won't say I like it better or worse. It's just different. You guys know this. Like, there is such a passion for people that went to a university that continued to follow them. Like, we all grew up sports fans and we all had our favorite teams, but once you go to a university and you spend time and it's like your formative years and you develop these friendships and these bonds with people, you know, that's hard to break. And I think at a place like Utah, specifically on that campus around Kyle Whittingham's program and, you know, being able to do as many road shows over the years as I was in Salt Lake City, you can tell like that passion is there. And I'm not saying there's not that same level of dedication at the professional level, because there's a lot of that, but I think there's an emotional connection that fans and alumni have to their university. Look, I went to Fordham University in New York City, and look, I grew up a Giants fan and a Mets fan and a Knicks fan. You know, I root for those teams, but my God, I would do anything for, you know, the kids coming through the radio program that I was at when I was at Fordham. I want those teams to really do well. Like, you have like this invested interest. So that's the longest winded answer to saying they're different, but I love them both.
Zach Wilson most likely going on his way to number two, and I know you've talked to a lot of people around the league. What's the general consensus on him, and how quickly do people think he could be successful in a Jets uniform?
Yeah, I think to your point, it looks like he's going to be rocking that green uniform. And I think the more you talk to people around the NFL, and you really even on the college front, because I've been kind of leaning in on some of my contacts in college football to sort of help me out with some of the stuff with the NFL, like the arm strength. And I mean, I know there was that viral video that was going, you know, all over Twitter. And it was actually really funny to me because Sam Darnold, who I got to know obviously from his time at SC, I think also has a cannon of an arm as well. And once they showed the Wilson throw where he's kind of like rolling back and kind of fires down the field, I mean, it's a tremendous throw. Someone actually posted a video of a similar throw in a game that Darnold made. I think the difference here is Dak's going into a system where they're starting from scratch again. Obviously, a new head coach. Look, it's a reset, rebuild mode for this Jets team. I worry from Zach's perspective, you know, Sam had a lot of issues with offensive line, with the skill position. I mean, you would be shocked. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was like an ungodly number of different offensive lines that were in front of him over the last couple seasons or so. The revolving door in terms of health of his wide receivers was really significant. So I think in some ways it was a win that Sam ends up with Carolina. And I think it's a win now that Zach Wilson gets to go to a great media market where there is a strong fan base. As a guy that grew up in that New York City area, I get that. Like, there is a passionate Jets fan base that's there. But I think people have just continued to rave about what Zach is capable of doing on the football field. And, you know, I think in any other year, guys, to be totally candid with you, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is clearly the number one prospect in this class. We've talked about him as the number one quarterback taken off of the board. You know, it's not like Andrew Luck, but in some ways it sort of feels that way, where it's a no-brainer at the top. I can't imagine if Trevor wasn't in this draft. Like, I think a lot of the fanfare, you know, towards Zach, I mean, we'd be talking about him as a number one pick in this draft too, which is easy to say because he's going to go number two. But the point is, I think people think so highly of the skill set.
We talk about that 2017 draft quite often because you had Mitchell Trubisky taken number two to the Chicago Bears, and then you had Patrick Mahomes, who was number 10 to the Kansas City Chiefs, and then you had Deshaun Watson, who was number 12 to the Houston Texans. And if you re-rank that, it would be in that middle order. You'd have Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun, and then Mitchell Trubisky. I want you to rank Lance. Well, let's see. I want you to rank. Just give me your top four quarterbacks in this draft and how you see it playing out for those quarterbacks eventually.
I actually think that's a great question. I know Daniel Jeremiah at NFL Network, he does a great job with this, where he's gone through the last, you know, 10, 15 years. He did that on his podcast with Bucky Brooks, you know, the last kind of ranking the top quarterbacks and where the real value was in that first round. And more times than not, it hasn't been necessarily the first guy taken off of the board. I would put Trevor Lawrence there, but look, we've said this before about different guys that, you know, end up on different NFL teams and a fit is meaningful. The more people that I've talked to, the more you look at the numbers, you know, I'll give you an example. So like I said, I'm going to be down with San Francisco this week. And I think some people, you know, have sort of had this Mac Jones situation where they'd have him at that third pick. And then you go through some of the numbers there and you think about how San Francisco runs its offense and, you know, all the motion that Kyle Shanahan throws into place and all these play action passes from under center. Well, the guy that did that the most in college was Trey Lance. And I think, you know, the more people you talk about his ability as an athlete, but also to not make mistakes, I almost feel like they go there. And I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm a huge Justin Fields guy, but if I was ranking the order, a lot of this is subject to fit, but Trevor Lawrence I would have number one. I don't know if I would have said this, you know, 2 weeks ago without before doing more homework on it, but Trey Lance right now, I'd put two, then Zach Wilson, then Fields, and then Mac Jones at five. And to be totally honest with you guys on this Mac Jones thing, I think that's me almost buying into more of the hype than anything, because Davis Mills, you know, to your point, if you go later in the draft, whether it's later in the first round or you go into other rounds, and you can find some guys that can produce for you. Now, I keep hearing about this acumen that Mac Jones has. I got to be honest, I've been around Davis Mills. I think he is super bright. And the year that Tua came out, that high school class, Davis Mills was the number one quarterback in the country. You know, he's been dealing with some injuries there, but I think Davis Mills would be a steal for a team that's drafting late in the first round or in the second round. And I wouldn't be surprised, guys, by the way, if a team drafts into the first round to go and take him.
Wow. Interesting. So let's combine your NFL work with your Pac-12 work. I think Cincinnati would be, because I think your quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 in whatever order. I think that the big tight end from Florida goes 4. And then at 5, if the Bengals take Ja'Marr Chase, I'm going to want to drive to Cincinnati and slap him around because Penei Sewell needs to be on that offensive line for Joe Burrow. And I know he may have a lot of relationships with that wide receiver, but if Joe Burrow wants to have a long career in the NFL, they really need to draft Penei Sewell.
Look, I'm totally with you there on that front. It seemed like a no-brainer for weeks and weeks and weeks. I understand what excites a fan base with regards to the wide receivers. But you guys know this. You guys are fans. You watch on Sunday. How many times have we seen a great playmaker that wasn't taken in the first round of the wide receiver spot? The last few years, the depth at that position is really significant. So is Ja'Marr Chase the best wide receiver in this class? Yeah, there's no doubt. Like I would put him there. There's no question. You know, and then you're talking about Waddle and Smith, and you can go down the line. Rashad Bateman is another player that I think you can throw out there from Minnesota. But the point is, I think there's more value at that spot. And Joe Burrow didn't finish out the year. So I'm with you guys 1,000%. Penei Sewell, to me, is just an absolute man-child. We know up close and personal from watching him at Oregon what he's brought to the table. And keep in mind here, I mean, like, he's still a young guy. As an opt-out player, and that's the one thing that I wasn't sure about. I actually learned this when I was in Seattle around Washington for their pro day. You know, they had a couple guys. Joe Tryon is one of those players, Levi Onwuzurike, who could be one of the first defensive tackles taken off of the board in this year's draft. Those two guys in particular were opt-out guys. And I was concerned that how do you get better football-wise? And I don't know what the answer is from that perspective because they didn't play, but neither one of those players look like they had missed a workout to the point where Joe Tryon looks like a Greek god when he's out on that football field. I mean, it's pretty crazy to watch him and look at him physically. And he's been rising up draft boards. And people were talking about him as, you know, a late second or third round pick. You know, the more you talk to people around the NFL draft, they'll tell you, like, there's a push for him at the top of that second round. I saw one mock the other day that had him in the late first round. I say that just to bring up the fact that Penei Sewell was an opt-out guy. And I think from a conditioning standpoint, I there's no doubt in my mind, I think Penei can go in and step in right from day number one and be effective.
All right. So Scotty, to your point, if this is what we see, if we see Trevor Lawrence go number one, Zach Wilson go number two, and if it's either Mac Jones or Justin Fields at number three, I don't know about you, Mike, but I could see Atlanta kind of creating an awkwardness, kind of the Green Bay type awkwardness, and taking Trey Lance to push Matt Ryan. Do you think we're just missing Atlanta taking quarterback? I think if Trey Lance is there at four, I think Atlanta might take him and press Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think there's something to it. Now, look, Arthur Blank has actually been quoted as saying, you know, numerous times that Matt Ryan is their guy, but there is a need for a succession plan. And I think all great organizations sort of have that in the pipeline. You know, and if you're a Falcons part of that team personnel. Like, you're kind of hoping you're not picking this high again anytime soon. So to your point, I think there'd be a real conversation in that room to try to figure out, like, hey, is this the time to go and get that heir apparent to Matt Ryan? So I'm with you. I think the pick at three, though, is critical, because if they go and pick Mac Jones, San Francisco, then I think it's a real conversation to be had for that Atlanta front office. But, if it's a Trey Lance or Justin Fields specifically that gets taken off of that board, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Atlanta is in love, with one of, you got to be in love with one of those guys. And something tells me Atlanta is not on the Mac Jones, bandwagon, which means those two guys that are still potentially available in Fields and Lance, both of those guys could be the guy that they love. Now, if San Francisco takes one of those guys, maybe Atlanta doesn't want the other player, and you either see Atlanta go and make a different pick or even try to trade down. Something tells me, two guys, if Mac Jones gets taken at three, I think there's more conversations to be had with NFL teams trying to move into that 4 and 5 spot.
Oh, my gosh. I think, no doubt, because, if he goes three, then all hell's going to break loose, because you got two quality quarterbacks that are now falling. And if I'm, drafting at 4 and 5, you can get, I'm sure, a wealth of picks in exchange for that, for sure, because you've got, like, a team like Denver who may want to go a quarterback, and they're anticipating one of those quarterbacks to fall to them. And if that doesn't happen, then they'll try to move up. To me, this is really fascinating. But do you really think Mac Jones could go that high to three? Because I don't know, man. I have a hard time with Alabama quarterbacks, because they're surrounded by so much talent. It's really hard for them not to be successful there.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. I'm not saying that I would take Mac Jones. All I can tell you is the conversations here in the San Francisco Bay Area seem to lean that way. Now, they've hedged a little bit now that both Trey Lance and Justin Fields both had their second pro days, and Shanahan and Lynch were at both of those. But there was a lot of buzz, guys. Remember, like, Fields and Mac Jones both had their pro days on the same day. And Shanahan and Lynch, they were down at Alabama to watch Mac Jones. So I think that automatically had people thinking in that direction. It's funny, I actually sent a message to Steve Sarkisian. I'm waiting to hear back from him to try to get his take on this, because obviously he was Alabama's offensive coordinator. I haven't heard back just yet, but one of the things I want to ask him is, like, hey, did you see Mac Jones as sort of like a top five guy in this year's draft? I mean, people were talking about him as a fringe first rounder, towards the end of that season. And, once again, dissecting the numbers, and guys, I don't want to sound like a football, geek here, but that completion percentage, like, Joe Burrow, when we watched him, there were times on the field where I was like, yo, this guy can't miss. Like, this is unbelievable to see the rate of success that Joe Burrow had at the college level with some of the throws. Now, granted, he had a stud team around him. Mac Jones then does it better, right? Over 77% completion percentage, which is the highest ever in FBS play. But keep in mind, 21% of those passes were screen passes. So, to me, like, that kind of does inflate that number just a little bit, but it's not to say that Mac Jones can't be a quality quarterback. I think there's concern from a Bay Area fan base that says, what's Mac Jones' ceiling? And is it a Kirk Cousins? Is it a guy, is Shanahan just looking for a dude that's not going to, have a lot of turnovers? Jimmy G turned the ball over, and that was an issue last season for this football team. And I think Shanahan and Lynch sit back and say, hey, like, is Jimmy G, granted we got to the Super Bowl, but, are we better off trying to find an elite quarterback after watching, other elite quarterbacks in the NFL thrive and lead their teams to Super Bowl wins? And I think they look at this as an opportunity to go and try to get a franchise quarterback.
Is the news about Justin Fields and the epilepsy, could that cause him to fall a bit in the draft?
Easy for me to say, because it's not my money going into, a franchise. I'd say no, because it hasn't affected his play thus far, and it's been manageable. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network had given the name, and I, off the top of my head, I can't remember, but there's been other players that have had to deal with this condition, and they've taken the proper measurements, and have been medicated to control some of those reactions, and they've been fine as professional athletes. So, to me, I don't think it would be a factor for me. That would sway me if I don't, you know, if I think Justin Fields is the guy. And by the way, he is an absolute monster. We saw what he was capable of doing at Ohio State, and especially in sort of these motion offensive plays. And by the way, one other note here on Trey Lance and Justin Fields, both of those guys have been working with John Beck, who played for Shanahan when he was in Washington, and both of those guys are still close. Trey Lance was working with a different quarterback coach, and they asked if he'd be willing to work with John Beck so they can get some more intel. So that's actually what started that shift there for, you know, to kind of keep tabs on him, which also has me thinking, you know, you're looking for these clues, right, on which way they want to lean, has me thinking that maybe Trey Lance is that pick. But getting back to Justin Fields, for me, it wouldn't be a factor. It would not be an issue for me to draft him that high.
I just was looking back at number one overall picks that were quarterbacks and the way they changed programs. And you've got Andrew Luck. You go down a couple of years. You know, you've got an offensive tackle and a defensive end that are mushed in there in a couple of different years. But Andrew Luck, Jared Goff, Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow. Obviously, you know, we're adding another one in Trevor Lawrence this year. Just going down the list, which one of those comes to your mind as having the most instant change for their given team that they were drafted to?
Wow. It's a great question. You guys, did you mention Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a part of me that leans his way, and maybe I'd be saying it with Burrow, but how about this guy? I mean, he was supposed to sort of, you know, glide into that starting job at some point, you know, in the near future, and to get thrust in, you know, literally just minutes before a game, to the point where he thought it was a joke that, you know, coach was telling him he was going in when Tyrod Taylor gets, you know, the punctured lung by a team physician. You know, I look at what that team was able to do this past year, and I get it. Win-loss record, I don't think fully tells the story. How many times was it a single-digit, one-possession loss that they had this past year? Like, I think they're really close. And I think about these haymaker throws that Herbert was unleashing throughout the course of the season. I think there's a little bit of an it factor there. And I look at it more, and I don't know if like this is a factor on the checklist, but as you're asking me that question, you're naming some of those guys. You know, I think there's, you know, obviously he hasn't had the winning success that some of the other players that you mentioned have had. But I do say, like, in a short period of time, he's put himself in a pretty high category in terms of NFL starting quarterbacks. And I think about some of the knocks that people had on him coming into the NFL draft last year and how he's basically silenced everyone. You know, you asked me the question earlier about kind of redrafting, you know, over the course of the last few seasons. You know, I don't know. Like, is Justin Herbert drafted where he was? You know, last year, I'd probably say not. And look, Joe Burrow, I thought was terrific, but I think there'd be a real conversation, knowing what we know now, between both of those guys.
Mike Yam, kind enough to join us from the NFL Network. Mike, enjoy draft day. Appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
You guys are the best. Stay healthy. Always appreciate the invite.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Yam, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Some good quarterbacks in there. Andrew Luck, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow. You know, I do think that you have to take a look at who you're adding Trevor Lawrence to. You're adding Trevor Lawrence to, I would say, a unique hire as a head coach in the NFL. Very unique hire. Urban Meyer is going to think outside of the box. I just saw him in a brief interview talking about the way they're going to approach the season and approach the field. I don't know if it rubs guys the wrong way. I don't know if they embrace it and play for him out of respect or fear, or if they fight against it and, you know, at some point want him ousted. I don't know how it's going to go over with today's athlete. But it is a unique hire, and maybe he and Trevor Lawrence build something great together. That's very, very possible.
We're live here at Elite Works. Once again, Scotty hanging out with us. As we are changing lives by changing websites.
That's what we do. You know, we're always changing lives. I want Sarah McLachlan's song to come in right here and then really slowly talk about how amazing.
For as little as $25 a month.
Yes. You can also get drafted as the number one water boy in the NFL this week.
That would be great. Hey, we are giving tickets away for every free rebuild that comes in.
Yep.
So all you got to do is
– for the bees, too.
For the bees.
And the GM just texted me. He's getting pissed off because they've already sold out a full stadium because so many people are. You know, I'm sorry,
that's how many people
organization. I'm sorry. You know, but that's how many people want this offer.
They're going to be overflowed. No, this is awesome, though. I mean, an opportunity to get out, watch a baseball game. And all you got to do is get a free rebuild. 844-523-2777. In the long run, your website is going to function better.
Yep.
It's going to have more components if you do need more components. EliteWorks has a components that are available if you need to be able to sell things on your website or some type of email marketing or any of those things. EliteWorks can offer that. And it's going to be more affordable than what you're probably currently paying for.
There's no question. I mean, it's as low as $25, and it's free up front with all of that labor. And again, that labor is going to run you normally $1,500, $2,000. And we're going to be building these websites. We've done thousands of these. We've put them up there. We have a lot of satisfied clients and customers. Again, live support right here in Lehigh. We're local. Everybody likes to shop local. You're supporting, you know, all of our employees are based here in Utah. We don't do any of this overseas stuff. And so you're truly supporting the economy here of Utah.
Right here.
Yeah.
844-523-2777. Again, the first 10 new rebuilds that call in, and we do still have the Bees tickets available, you're going to get a family six-pack to go out to a Bees game with your free rebuild. 844-523-2777. And the first 10 new builds we're going to put into a pot, and we are going to draw a free new build.
Yep.
Out of the first 10 new builds that come in today. So if you need a new website, EliteWorks is going to do that. 844-523-2777.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Good, bad, ugly coming up next.
This is DJ and PK.
Time now to welcome in John Beck, the former BYU quarterback, now a QB coach.
I wanted to ask you about the intangibles because it seems like Zach Wilson really wants it. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. I do believe that Zach Wilson has a great mindset, a great work ethic. There are times I almost feel like I'm talking to my younger self. And maybe that's why Zach and I feel like we click so well and connect so well, because I can say something in a way that it's as if I'm giving my 20-year-old self advice on this end, and it works for Zach, and he totally gets it. And I think that that's why this has been, you know, such a good thing, and I'm super excited for the future. I do believe that Zach Wilson does so many right things. I believe the way that he has his makeup set right now is putting him in a good place, and then he's going to have to keep working at it.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
You always make me a little nervous when during the break you're like, hey, just work with me a little bit on this one.
Well, this good, I love this good because, first of all, I love the elderly. No, I do. I love the elderly. This woman is 105 years old. Her name is Cora Bell Edison.
Okay.
And I love when athletes can make the day of our older generation. And we have that exact situation here.
When you turn 105, there may not be a whole lot that you want for your birthday, but a local woman has just one wish, to meet football legend Tim Tebow.
Not a whole lot of people turn 105, so Cora Bell Edison's birthday is worthy of two celebrations.
How you doing?
Yes, so-so. Well, How are you?
I'm so-so.
This weekend, Cora celebrated with her family, but the highlight may have been a very special birthday message.
Hey, Miss Edison, this is Tim Tebow. I wanted to make this video to say happy birthday. I know last Tuesday that you turned 105 years old, and that is so incredible.
Tim Tebow, the Heisman Trophy winner and NFL football player, sent his well wishes.
That's him!
Okay.
I also know we have a lot in common. So I know that you have five children, and I'm the baby of five, so we have that in common. And I know that you are a nurse and that you loved helping people, and that's also what I feel called to do. But most importantly, I also know that you love the Lord, which is most important.
The two may be separated in age by more than 70 years, but they share a connection through faith.
I know that you have left such a legacy with so many people in the way that you have given, the way that you have shared, the way that you have cared, the way that you have loved, but most importantly, that you've done all those things because you love Jesus, because he first loved us. So I want to say happy birthday, but also congratulations on leaving such an impact.
Being 105, it's hard for Mrs. Edison to verbally express herself, but you can see the excitement on her face.
God bless you, and I really hope I get the chance to see you and give you a hug. But even if I don't get the chance to give you a hug here on earth, I know I will in heaven. I look forward to that day.
Gilda Crawford says if this is the last birthday memory for Corabelle, she's thankful it could be this one.
My heart is so full.
I hate you so much right now. No. Why did you do this to me?
Oh, my heart is so full of just love and appreciation and joy for each other. And, you know, that Tim Tebow would share a message with Corbin.
It's probably one of those cameo things where you have to pay him like $300 to do it.
No, come on. This is Tim.
No way Tim did that for free.
He made money.
He made money.
He profited. Not making money anywhere else.
Probably got into it. Oh, never mind.
Why do you do this to Tim? He's extending an amazing message.
I like how, like, so this woman who's 105 years old worked as a nurse and probably saved lives, saw things that we as a general public not in a hospital should never see.
Would make a billy goat puke.
And like she probably saw some stuff and experienced some stuff, and her spirit was undaunted. And here's Tim like, we're a lot alike. You were a nurse, and I like to help people too. Shut up. You're nothing a lot alike.
Well, I didn't expect it. Come on. I didn't mean for this to be a Tim Tebow hit project. This is Tim just offering an amazing birthday.
How about how he talked to her? He talked to her. She was like she was 2 years old.
Pat. She's 70 years older than he is. He's like, oh, look at you, Pat. You're so sweet, Pat. Like, shut up. This woman's old enough to be your great-great-grandma. Why don't you show a little bit more respect?
Hey, Miss Edison, this is Tim Tebow. I wanted to make this video to say happy birthday. I know last Tuesday that you turned 105 years old, and that is so incredible.
Precious that you were able to do that.
Lloyd, let's just move on, man. This is not, I'm not happy. I'm not appreciating what he's doing here.
I'm with Scotty on this. I think how he handled this was terrible.
Are you kidding me? It's a
no,
sweet
I'm not
message
kidding you.
To a 105-year-old
no, it's not.
Woman.
He doesn't mean it. Yeah, he's probably sitting there kicking a dog.
Yeah, I agree that he shouldn't have compared himself to a nurse. I agree. But the thought was there. It's really sweet. This is all she wanted for her 105th birthday was to talk to Tim Tebow.
I don't know about that. Like, is that really what she wanted?
That's what her kids thought she wanted.
Kids are probably thinking, hey, never mind. I probably should.
I also know we have a lot in common. So I know that you have five children, and I'm the baby of five, so we have that in common. And I know that you are a nurse and that you loved helping people, and that's also what I feel called to do.
I'm sorry. I love him, and I think that message is pure in intent. And
you don't love him. I know you don't.
I want to get Frank Dolce on the air. Let him break this down.
I can't remember this.
Because nobody, I don't think there's anybody that likes Tim Tebow less than I do than Frank Dolce. Like, I respect Tim Tebow, the college quarterback. Like, I think he was a tremendous college quarterback, and then the NFL was just a train wreck. Tim thinks he's trash at every level.
I just don't know how you took.
What did you do?
My liquor straw fell down there. Okay. I don't know how you take a message to a 105-year-old woman and turn it into something negative.
Well, I think when you take the message of the 105-year-old woman and make it about yourself,
Hey, Miss Edison, this is Tim Tebow. I wanted to make this video to say happy birthday. I know last Tuesday that you turned 105 years old, and that is so incredible.
All right, we got to move on. This is going poorly. This is going poor. This is going worse.
Going how you thought it would go.
No,
so don't
you
even go there.
You knew what this story was
you
when you picked
what this
it
would
up.
Do. The fact that you made me hear this twice, I hate you right now.
I'm so glad Lloyd and I are on a, one, on a side for once. All right, there's your ugly. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, the bad is really bad. For those of you that didn't see it, LeBron James posted and then later deleted a tweet about a fatal police shooting of Micaiah Bryant. She's a 16-year-old black girl in Columbus, Ohio. And in a series of tweets, James explained why he deleted the post. This is what he said, Scotty. Anger doesn't do any of us any good, and that includes myself. Gathering all the facts and educating does, though. My anger still is here for what happened to that little girl. My sympathy for her family, and may justice prevail. I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system. And they always use our words to create more racism. I am so desperate for more accountability.
The original tweet had a photo of the officer, Nicholas Reardon, who is white, with an accompanying caption, "You're next, hashtag accountability," with an hourglass emoji. Put it that up there on Wednesday.
Well, the video goes on to show that this officer actually potentially saved the life of a woman that this 16-year-old was attacking.
With a knife?
With a knife.
Yeah.
In a frame-by-frame situation, you can see the knife in the hand and it coming over the top towards a woman that was trapped between this 16-year-old and a car and couldn't go anywhere. And, you know, what I try to do is put myself in the shoes of the parent of that girl that's trapped between that knife and the car and how I would want it handled. And it is terrible. Loss of life is always terrible. But it was better to save one life that was in extreme danger right there. I worry that this officer has been put in a lot of danger with a very dangerous tweet. Remember, LeBron's got 50 million plus. The last I checked, it was over 50 million. I don't even know what it's at now. But, you know, something like that is extremely dangerous to do for this officer.
Yeah, yeah. The "you're next," that's it's and LeBron was wise to take that down for sure. And I'm sure there were a lot of people close to LeBron that said, you got to take that down.
Ooh. Scary. Yeah. I mean, and there will be a review and there needs to be an investigation from what the you know, frame by frame shows. It sure seems like there was reason for lethal force.
Yeah.
It seems like, but even I will stand back and let the investigation take place and listen to the outcome. But as a parent thinking that that might be my kid being attacked.
You know, I've the Derek Chauvin thing, I hadn't really spent a lot of time digging into it a little bit, but since the guilty verdict, I went back and read a lot of the stories surrounding it and the trial. And there were a couple people on that jury that were, I know one said they were pro on the Blue Lives Matter, that they were very, very much involved in police officers' rights. And there was another one who said during the jury selection, "All Lives Matter," which is a phrase that has certainly had a really strong negative connotation throughout the Black Lives Matter. And so I think there was some concern about those jury members that it wouldn't go their way. But those jury members looked at the video, looked at the testimonies, looked at everything involved and said he is guilty on all of those counts.
He murdered him.
And he murdered him, which, you know what? He did.
Yep.
And I love the fact that you had people that their belief system may not be in line with a lot of others, but yet looked at the evidence and saw what was going on and said, yes, that man is guilty on all counts. And let's separate all the back and forth between a lot of people that are really angry with each other and just look at the facts of the case. And yes, he was guilty. And let's affix a guilty. Let's not politicize it and let him and fight for him because of political beliefs. Let's just say it as it is. He's guilty. Mm-hmm. And he was. And I think for all cases, let's pull away emotions one way or another. Look at the merits of the case and go forward.
But what LeBron did is potentially damaging, horrible outcome for a case that hasn't even started to be concluded yet. And I'm saying what I saw from the images, but even before I go crazy on that, I would step back. Now, I don't have 50 million followers. I can't potentially influence a group to find where this man lives to harm him or harm his family, which there are enough wackos out there that they would absolutely do that. On one side or the other, they would absolutely do that. And I fear for that guy's life. I hope that he's okay. I hope that what LeBron put out is enough to kind of slow things down. But you're right. Him deleting that post was the right thing to do.
11:50, what you may have missed coming up next. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
The transferring and that sort of thing, it's turning into the Wild West. Listen to this tweet from Dick Vitale. Players are informed school X will offer you if you get in the portal. That violates why the rule was put into play.
It's not ideal, and I understand their abuses, but I don't think they overwhelm the freedom individuals should have.
Which they do have. You can transfer wherever. You just couldn't have a scholarship the next year at another spot.
Well, that, for a lot of people, that makes it very difficult.
Or you could have a scholarship and just not play. You're still going to school.
It's up to coaches to make their programs attractive enough to keep their players.
I think it's another excuse for money to change hands.
Catch The Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Whole World News.
This is great, Scotty. You're going to love this. This is a good story.
You owe me after that Tim Tebow thing.
We're going to go to Italy for today's Whole World News.
Yeah. All right. Got it.
We're going to go all the way to Italy for today's Whole World News. To a man whose name is Salvatore Scamucci. He is 67 years old, and he has been labeled the king of absentees. This is what happened with Salvatore. So he was working at a hospital, and he was a security officer at the hospital. Back in 2005, he brought some level of aggression to his boss and said, hey, I'm going to be out for a bit, and never you mind about why and when I'm going to come back. And apparently kind of forced the hand a little bit of his employer of, all right, well, I better cool it on this. And just, okay, Salvatore, when you come back, things will be good, but hurry on back because we need you. Well, that boss ends up retiring a short time later.
So this was 2005.
2005.
All right.
That boss ends up retiring a short time later. And Salvatore had yet to come back from wherever he was, but was still being paid. Well, as that person retired and left, they brought in a new director that brought in a new staff that left Mr. Salvatore on the payroll, and he made $647,000 over the next 15 years with never showing up to the job. He never showed up to the job. 15 years he was being paid as hospital security and just kept getting the checks and was like, nice, right.
So is he, they gonna make him pay him back?
Oh yeah. He's thrown in jail. He's in a lot of trouble. Suspect faces charges of abuse of office, forgery, aggravated extortion in connection with the scheme, and two other charges, Scotty.
Wow.
He was fired. They did not realize until just this last October. And then he was just arrested this last week. And the investigation was called Operation Part-Time. King Absentee, Mr. Salvatore Scamucci, 67 years old. He's going to go to jail for a little bit. But 15 years.
Hey, that's a good 15 years.
He's raking in a good salary for 15 years.
I'm like, okay, so apparently the aggressive nature in which he set this up apparently is not okay, and he's getting hit with that too.
Yes, he is.
But here's the thing, like it's like the bank thing where it gave the lady $1 million. Now, she probably shouldn't have got out and bought a house and a new car that day that the $1 million accidentally showed up in her account. But still, like people are making mistakes here. And if you're sitting back and you're just reaping the rewards, isn't it also on the company a little bit? Like, shouldn't they get their hand slapped a little bit too?
Johnny's nodding yes. I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe there is some level of oversight, maybe some culpability, but you're getting a paycheck and you're not, you know, taking your nightstick and taser to the hospital.
But it was based on an agreement with the person. He said, all right, go ahead, go away. You're going to be okay. We'll keep paying you. Just try to come back soon. His definition of soon may be a little different than what his definition of soon may be 20 years. You know. Johnny, that didn't go over the air. Stop it.
At some point, you got to think to yourself while you're playing video games, hey, Fred, when was the last time you went to work?
2005.
You still getting paid? Are you still getting paid from the hospital?
The Bush administration.
Better be. This is just an incredible story to me. Salvatore Scamucci.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network as we're out and about today here at Elite Works. Your chance to come by and change your website. Get it fixed absolutely for free. No charge to you at all.
The sponsor of Whole World News, Elite Works.
Yes.
844-523-2777.
All right.
Call them.
Let's ask Scotty this, okay? Let's say you had an employee who came in and said, hey, I'm going through some stuff. I need some time away. And you're like, okay, look, we're going to, you know, we'll keep you on the payroll. Go ahead and get your stuff fixed, and then we'll get you squared away. And then you forget about the guy. And then 15 years later, you're going over payroll, and they're like, hey, who's this guy that we've been paying for 15 years? Like,
that one.
Whose fault is it?
It's actually a story about me, and I've been escaping the old place I used to work at for years.
Because the guy who took the paycheck's getting thrown in jail.
It would 100% be the owner.
See, that's my thought.
Yeah, 100%. If you excused him and you were stupid enough to not follow up with that and exchange the agreement out.
The hospital operator retired just weeks after they excused him, okay. And then they brought in somebody else that just
couldn't figure it out.
Didn't double check things. And this guy was just for 15 years taking a paycheck. He took $647,000 and never showed up to work. Not a single day of work.
Hey, and that's what we call the American dream.
That's sadly true.
Yes.
Can I
find a job like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called
Government work.
It's called Bitcoin.
Yeah, right. I saw the best meme. It was a sign outside of a Burger King, and it was like they couldn't find anybody to work there.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The checks.
Nobody wants to work.
Yeah, and then on the other side it says something like, we're offering two
stimulus checks.
Yeah, two stimulus checks a month.
Per month.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, man, all the people are coming in trying to get jobs now.
That's awesome. Scotty, let's save some people some money, and let's get people out to the park.
Yes.
We got B's tickets for the first 10 rebuilds that come in. And by the way, your rebuild is going to be free. Really, this is just really to sweeten the pot and say thank you to the people that come in and give Elite Works a try. 844-523-2777. If you've got a website, if you own a business and you have a website, think about that website. How often do you use it? How often do you look at it? And understand that when people hear your name, that's where they go.
Yep.
So how does it look? That's what I want people to think about. And Elite Works can make it look fresh. It can have higher function. It can have SEO operations. It's a search engine operation, so that it will place you further in the line when somebody does a local search for, like, plumber. Well, all of a sudden, your business is right there at the top of the search. Yep. It can do all of those things, and it's a free rebuild. Yeah. Why wouldn't people do this and get Bees tickets?
Yeah, and Hans and Scotty, they hit dingers. You know what
we
I mean?
Hit dingers.
You hit dingers.
We hit dingers.
You know? I'm Hans Olsen.
And I hit
and
dingers.
And I hit dingers.
I hit dingers.
I mean, dude.
I love that kid so much.
Yeah,
I
do. Me too.
Oh, it was one of the best drops ever.
Yeah.
But for sure, I mean, you guys, we can absolutely get some great websites out there. Put them up. You can hit dingers. Go to the Bees game. It's going to be free, and then as low as $25 a month is all you're paying. Live support.
For the hosting.
No contracts. Are you kidding me?
That's the thing that always gets me is the no contracts.
Yeah, and it's crazy because right now I'm getting a call from our phone company because they're so mad at me. So many people are calling in right now.
You're having to add lines.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just hired like 40 or 50 more employees to take these calls.
That's partly on you and partly on Scotty and I. We do have great listeners.
Hey, just think if we were on TV right now, how many more we'd have.
No, that's
none.
I mean, zero. These looks right here, come on.
Yeah, you would wish you had contracts because people who did sign up would be canceled.
But call right now and let's get it taken care of. Let's get you squared away.
844-523-2777.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.